We'll speak with a significant artist when it comes to electronic music, and especially with Star Zenda. James Johnson, thanks for calling in, and I'm sorry about the any difficulties you had in getting through. At last, we're very, very happy and pleased to have you on the air here. Thanks.
Oh, no problem. No problem.
Yeah, when were you here last? You were here a couple years ago when you came to Philadelphia.
Yeah, I think it was 2001. Out in, I think it was in April as well. Played with Prana opened up.
Yeah, and that was, you know, Philadelphia has been host to several or many really great live electronic music concerts. Of course, one of yours was one of the a very significant and special one too. And after the concert, you came up here and played live on Star's End.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about your live activities that. For you as an electronic musician, because as we know, there are many electronic musicians out there who, for one reason or another, do not venture out into the live venue. And why don't you speak to us a little bit about why you do it and what it does for you, like what you've learned, because you've been quite prolific in your live events over the years.
I think probably the most significant part about playing out live is that you're dealing more with in-the-moment performances, whereas in the studio, you can. It's a great place to compose pieces and a great place to really sit down and focus in on a work and come up with a statement of intent and just really work through it. But I think at times that working solely in the studio can really put some blindfolds on an artist and not really allow them to expand in a more improv atmosphere, whereas Varunas and I really enjoy playing out live because you never know what's going to happen. There's real no plan behind the performance. There's some general guidelines in terms of where we want the music to go and how we want to get there, but in terms of what instruments we're going to play or what sounds we're going to play, it's pretty much up in the air and just play off each other, which is a lot of fun and can actually be brought back into the studio because a lot of the times you're making patches on the fly or making sounds on the fly just for whatever's going on at that time, and they can come up with a lot of new ideas for works that you might want to bring back into the studio and work in the studio on and, you know, pursue those ideas even further.
Well, you do mention your collaboration with another electronic musician. You're quite prolific in your collaborations as well, but this one you specified was Varunas, and we are listening to your album Perimeter, which was recorded with Varunas. I think it came out in the year 2000, I think it was, or a couple years ago. And since you brought him up, just talk a little bit about the difference between playing, you know, experiencing the music solo by yourself and having another artist there. Like, there's a whole different dynamic to your performance and to what you get out of it when there's another person involved.
Oh, absolutely. When I play solo, like the first Star Zenda show I was there, it was really very... I had the whole thing planned out in terms of which piece was going to go where, at what point, you know, how long was each piece going to last for, because playing solo, you've got to make sure that you can keep the work flowing so you don't end up with, you know, what I call bald spots in the performance, basically, where you've got to know exactly what's going to happen next, and you've got to be aware of when you're going to make a transition. But when I play with John, each one of us can fill in where the other isn't in the sound field, and it makes it a lot easier and a lot more enjoyable to play with an artist, at least for me, on stage, because you have a lot more creative freedom to pretty much, you know, it's a more calming atmosphere. You have a lot more freedom in terms of, like, well, I guess I can take this patchwork, you know, into a totally different zone, and it's like having John can just follow that, or John will take a piece into a totally different zone, and I can just follow that and play off of it rather than having to worry about, you know, how's the mix working on this, how's the sound working on that. You've got somebody else there, you know, to back you up on it. It's a lot more enjoyable, I think, for me.
It sounds like it's a more intimate experience too, to be involved with somebody else while you're focusing that closely on this one thing, you know, which is producing music or producing a concert, and you know, having things flow and the dynamics and everything.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's definitely a lot more intimate experience. Whereas if you're solo, you're really interacting with the audience. But if I'm playing with John, it's more like we're interacting with each other, and then the audience energy is part of that, but it's more about how our sounds are interacting. So you're definitely more focused on the performance.
James, in the background, we're listening to the album Perimeter, which is a double CD, and I understand you're having a follow-up to this CD being released sometime soon. It's going to be called Perimeter 2. But talk to us about where this music came from, what it is, the music on the album, where is it drawn from? Is it from studio versions of live works, or is it from actual live concerts? Or tell me where the origins of it.
Actually, Perimeter, the first Perimeter, the main impetus behind it was we did John and I did a performance at Perimeter Gallery in Chicago, and that was a improv for the gallery opening. Every year, Chicago has what they call their gallery walks in the springtime, and they open up the whole side of Chicago that's the gallery area, and the entire street full of galleries is basically one large opening for the whole evening, and people just can move in and out of different galleries viewing the different works, and we were stationed in the Perimeter Gallery. All the works on Perimeter are all live, direct-to-tape. We really loved recording direct-to-analog on that work because it allowed us so much more sonic flexibility, I think, going to analog than it did to go to digital. But that whole work was recorded live over like 2.5-3 day weekend, about a month or so after we had done the Perimeter Gallery performance. So we chose to just take those same sounds and the same works that we were working in the gallery and just bring them back into the studio and just perform them something quite similar live and just record it right as it was happening. There's pretty much no edits on that release other than just either the crossfades between the tracks or where tracks end and begin. Then Perimeter 2 is going to be in the exact same vein, except we're now kind of progressed in terms of which instrumentation we're using. It's going to change a little bit in terms of the timbres and the sounds, but the same feel with rhythms and atmospheres being intermixed between each other is pretty much going to continue on where the first Perimeter began. We do plan on releasing that on the day of our gathering performance, April 12th. So that'll be coming out with us on the train as we come out there. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, everybody's really looking forward to it. But I want to delve a little deeper into something you were just mentioning there, was because it seems like you are actually using the live venue or the aspect of live music as part of the composition process, which is kind of unusual when you look at the scope of music in general. That's maybe one or among only a few genres where you can say that can be done, because everything seems to be so... I mean, in pop music, the music seems to be created in the studio and then brought out live as a promotional means to further the cause of the album, whereas I think you're using it somewhat differently. So why don't you comment about that aspect of your music?
Yeah, I think you probably hit the nail on the head. We're actually doing it backwards. Yeah, it's all about the interaction between John and I, and interaction between the artist and the area where we're playing, or the venue that we're playing. And it also has a lot to do with the tactileness of the instruments and getting away from the cut and paste of using the computer or being able to going to the computer and say, oh, gee, you know, I want to adjust this 3 decibels or move the MIDI EQ on this just a little bit. We're more about like, well, just get the sound correct and just let it go. So wherever it wants to go, that's where the piece or where the sounds are going to go to. But in terms of the tactile part of it, we're very much, at least for me, I'm very much into getting back into twisting dials and moving knobs and pushing keys than I am about, you know, sitting in front of a screen and staring at a mouse and clicking and pasting tracks in order to create a piece. It became quite tedious to me just from the production standpoint. Like, as in Forgotten Places with Robert Scott Thompson, there was hours and hours and hours of cutting and pasting and placing parts in the correct position and EQing, you know, individual tracks correctly, and that just got to me. I was like, man, there's got to be a better way to do this, because my arm's getting tired, my hand's getting tired, I'm tired of staring at the screen. It didn't really detract from the music at all, but it really felt very sterile and very enclosed, like I was in this little bubble and wasn't really interacting with the music. I was more interacting with the computer.
Yeah, I can see how that would get boring after a while. James Johnson will be playing live in Philadelphia on April 12th. He'll be in collaboration with sound sculptor and groove master Virunis. Following that concert at the Gatherings Concert Series, James, you'll be coming up to play live on Stars End. Why don't you tell the Stars End listeners what they can expect on that night, especially about the duration of the concert?
Well, John and I are used to playing like 4 or 5 hours straight through whenever we play Northwestern's radio, the Head Theater program over there. We're quite used to that. We've done that one, I think, 3 or 4 times. And the first time it was kind of long. The second time we really got into the time format. And the third time playing through, when we played like 5 hours there about 3 or 4 months ago, by the time the 5-hour time came up, we're like, oh, we're just getting warmed up. We're having all so much fun. So we do plan on playing the Stars End radio show. We're going to play it straight through from opening to close. And we plan on pretty much doing more of a focused, rhythm-oriented works for like the first couple of hours to get ourselves warmed up, and then towards the end of the program we'll ease into some real minimal atmospherics and close out the program with that.
Man, that sounds great. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be like having a night off. Except be with all my friends up here. That'll be a lot of fun, and I'm sure our audience is looking forward to it as well.